Grant's supposed to do Sunday night's invitation, and we have singing Sunday night. Bruce, I guess you'll take care of the five song leaders or get that all mapped out for us. And Grant's going to do the invitation. And I told Nate to call me if he's not going to be here, but he's not here tonight. Everybody asked me how Andrew's doing. I don't want to talk about it. Don't ask me. But we will be putting his address on the board when we get it. We don't have it. Gordon called me about 30 minutes ago. He and Ginger both are working. They spent 2 days down there with Andrew, and they said they got a lot of time to make up, so they didn't think they'd be here. When Andrew sends us his address, we'll put it on the bulletin board. You can send him a card, a note, or something you're writing. He cannot have no package, any goodies, until he gets out of basic. We're going out there in mid-June when he gets out. So when we get back, he'll be going to school out there, and they got a lot more freedom. He can get care packages and everything like that. I remember when I was in there, my mother and aunt and cousin sent me a big old box of goodies, and it was a lifesaver. But I had a sad note today. It was real hot, and I thought, man, he's out in a hotter place than I am, you know. Second day out there. But anyway, I don't want to talk about it. We'll move on. Everybody has to grow up. My time is coming, I guess. We're going to try to finish chapter 33 and 34 tonight. If we don't, 35 is very small, and we can get caught up Sunday. 35 won't be no problem to go through. We got down to the end of 33. We're talking about the fall of Jerusalem and the cause of Judah's ruin, and the main thing they did not hear. And did not do what God instructed them to. In the 21st verse of the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, it says, "Then the 12th year of captivity, Jehoiachin, a fugitive from Jerusalem, arrived," not the king, but somebody's from Jerusalem, arrived in Babylon with the sad news that Jerusalem has fallen. Now, this is several months old, and Ezekiel said that this was going to happen. Ezekiel had predicted, if you remember back in chapter 24, verse 26, vindication to prove that he's a true prophet. And he needed a little bit of that. He is now authorized to open his mouth in a new series to prepare the captives for the future restoration of the nation. And that's what we're going. That's what we've been talking about. God's going to bring them back, and they would be able to recoup their losses and build that land in no time at all. In verse 24, it says, "Then the Jews had to cure their rebellious conduct." They had some problems they had to take care of first. They had to take care of what put them in exile, and they could not persist in the very crimes which caused God to destroy them, their city, and in the first place. So they got a little work to do, and God said, "Well, I'm going to give you the promised land and milk and honey and everything great for you, and you still be in rebellion to me." So they had going to have a little work. They violated the dietary regulation that God set for in the law. They couldn't eat anything with blood or anything like that. They just done about whatever they wanted to do. They pray to idols, which offended God very much. They stood upon the sword. In other words, they lived by violence. They was very violent. They worked abomination. They was immoral in worshiping pagan things. instead of helping all the surrounding neighbors, they gave in to the surrounding neighbors. Adultery was quite common, even in the children of Israel. They had a problem with this, and God expects them to cure that before he brings them out and restore them to their lawful position. Pride. They had a lot of pride in her position that they was the favored nation, and that had to cease. And God said, we can't tolerate that. They had much work to do. God is telling Ezekiel, he said, now I'm going to bring them back, but they're going to have to clean up the house. They're going to have to clean up their things. We can't have all that sin and everything going on. So when we get down to the end of the chapter 30 and 33, of the 33rd chapter, it says, as you, son of man, your people who talk together about you and by the wall and by the door of the house, say to one another and each to his brother, come and hear the words that come to the Lord. They finally come around recognizing Ezekiel, and that the words he has, that God was communicating to him. But they was kind of hypocritical about that. And they came to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they heard what you said, but they will not do it. That's pretty sad, stubborn people. They would not do it. They hear it, but would not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouth, they act. And the heart is set on their own gain. They was kind of selfish people. And behold, you are to them like one who sang lustful songs with a beautiful voice and play well with the instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. Well, when we all raise children, we always had that problem. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that the prophet has been among them. When everything that Ezekiel has been telling them materializes, that's how you prove that you have a prophet. And things is starting to unfold just like Ezekiel said they would. And they're starting to come around. The attitude of the exiled Torah Ezekiel when the news of Jerusalem fall reached Babylon, Ezekiel and his prophecy became the topic of the general conversation. Now, for the first time in his ministry, the exiles was anxious to hear the word of the Lord from the lips of God's prophet. But you heard the expression in one ear, and it didn't go and register down in the heart. And this is the problem that's manifested. And God knew this. They still needed to surrender their heart to follow the commandments of the Lord. Well, we do too. I've seen people obey the gospel, but they did not put their heart into it. With their mouth, they were very complimentary to the prophet, but their heart was full of covetousness and their own selfish concern. It's hard to get self out of the way. And that's what the children of Israel are dealing with. And Ezekiel and God saying, that's some of your problems. Now, we're going to bring you back, and we're going to restore all these blessings to you, but you're going to have to clean up house, too. We talk about repentance. We're going to have to be some repentance on your part. You're going to have to take this word to your heart, not the one that pumps blood, but the inward man that controls it. He says to those unspiritual souls, Ezekiel was like a musical entertainment. They enjoyed listening to him, but they was unmoved by his exhortation. They liked the music, like, you know, and liked to listen to him, but it didn't go to the heart. But when all his predictions came to pass, they would know that a true prophet had been among them. So we're at that stage now. We're seeing things start to unfold that Ezekiel's been talking about, what God's been talking about, and it's kind of wrestling with them. It's hard to get sin out of a person's life. And so these people, they got a lot of work to do, but God's aware of it. And Ezekiel's aware of it. God's very long, patient with them. And he wants the prediction become an evidence of the truth when it is fulfilled and not before. So this nation started seeing, I believe Ezekiel is a prophet of God. I believe God is talking to him. Because everything he's been saying has been coming about. Hence, the verse offers the conclusion and assurance to Ezekiel that he will finally be shown to have been a prophet of God. So this is very important to Ezekiel, too. He said, you know, I'm sure he probably said, you know, Lord, you know, you've been telling me all this stuff. It's got to come about. It's got to be true. That's how I'm going to manifest it to the nation. I cannot tell them and it not happen. Well, it's happening. Judah's gone. Jerusalem's gone. Everything Ezekiel's told him's gone. So Ezekiel said, now, God is going to bring you people back. But we got to clean house. There's some things that we got to do before he's really... How can you expect him just to bless you and bless you and bless you and you still have all this corruption in the nation? The Jews who was in exile in Babylon were more curious than sincere in their pretense and pretending inquiring for information. Kind of the idea that they wasn't as much sincere changing as they should have been. They wanted to know what was happening. And Ezekiel and God knows this. They see it right to it. The people not only fail to accept the words of the prophet, but they act hypocritical about it. They pretend to admire Ezekiel for giving them the information, but in their heart they was interested in the things of personal interest. What is it there in Galatians where Paul said, I crucified my will so God's will could be mine? These people haven't done that yet. That's what we got to do. And that's what God expects us to do. You know, and we can't act like we're interested in it and doing that. You know, there's a lot of us not here tonight. One lady we've been asking about, not here, nobody knows anything about it. Well, she's been called on. We have worked on that this week. I know she's been called at least 6 times and been had one time somebody in front of her place trying to visit her. And it's going to have some more between now and Sunday, and I hope we have a better answer by Sunday. But in their heart, they was interested in the things of personal interest. Had to get the big eye out of the way, didn't we? That's hard to do, you know it? Oh, it's about what I think or what I want, what I'm going to do. God's not interested in that. He's going to bless you when you let the word dwell in your heart. The spirit dwells with your spirit. The Lord was determined that his people should not forget him. God is not going to give up on them. They had a special need for this lesson since they have given so much of their time and devotion to the strange gods that was worshipped by the heathen around them. And God says, you know, you went into exile because of this. I'm going to break you. and the Lord bring you back and bless you, you're going to have to show me that you've been broken. That's mainly what he's dealing with in the 33rd chapter. I like to move on to the 34th chapter, unless somebody's got something they want to talk about in the 33rd chapter. He starts off in the 34th chapter with one, and then he comes back to the 35th chapter with the number two reason, but with one of the main reasons why the people of Israel got themselves fed away. What was it? Yes, leaders. That shows you how important the leadership is. I was coming to church tonight. You know, today is the First Lady's birthday. You know how old she is? 47. She's a little girl. 47 years old. I got kids older than that. 47 years old. I don't know. Mr. Trump's what, about 72? Something like that. That's 25 years. The word of the Lord came to me. We've seen this and had this before. Son of man, prophesied against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesied and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord God, a shepherd of Israel who had been feeding yourself should not shepherd and feed the sheep. The leaders is more interested in themselves than they was the sheep. Is one of the problems. And he said, God knows this. God's seeing it. So that's one of the things he's taking. He said, we're going to correct this. This is one of the things that we're going to correct. You eat the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool. Still self-centered, wasn't he? You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. They did not do what their responsibility was. The weak have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The stray you have not went out and brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. Terrible leaders. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep was scattered. They wander over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep was scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep has become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, no leaders, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep. But the shepherd had fed theirself and have not fed my sheep or my people. Well, as long as we're taking care of it, let everybody else go. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hands and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. God's had enough of these guys. Israel's past sin and punishments stemmed largely from the corruption and selfless leadership. And anytime you got leadership like that, you can say that's probably going to be the one primary fault. The first step in Ezekiel program of reconstruction for the nation was to replace all of those worthless leaders by a new breed of rulers.
Got to get rid of them. They're no good. Get them out.
They didn't take care of my people. They took care of themselves, but they didn't take care of my people like they're supposed to. The shepherds against whom Ezekiel is told to prophesy was the kings and the princes and others, leaders of the now the nation that's one under of Judah. All the political leaders. These men was under a divine woe because they had been concerned only about their own welfare and not that of the sheep which had been committed to their guardianship. You know what that sounds like to me? Modern day politics. They had ruled with force. I'm the boss. You do as I say. Not with consideration and justice. Don't make no difference about the justice part. God said, we're not going to do it that way no more. That's not a way I intended for you to do, and you're not going to do it from now on. None of their leaders made any effort to regroup the flock or avert the flight. The flock was simply abandoned. First time a little something come up, the leaders is gone, the flocks is there by themselves. God refers to the nation leaders as my shepherds because they was answerable to him. God's people suffered because of the greedy shepherds. Should never be that way, especially from the top down to the bottom. Our leaders should be concerned about their nation, about the nation of the United States. President Trump should be concerned about us. And I know this is his 100th day. I don't care what you think about politicians or anything about it. But I've really been impressed. He's done a better job than I ever thought he did. Maybe I had a low expectation of him. These shepherds virtually had become beasts of prey. And God would finally liberate his people from their leadership. You know, something that we're having a problem with right now kind of reminds me of it is like North Korea. You seen their leader up there? If you think we got a bad one, we all have him. All right, to finish the last of the chapter, verse 34, I like to look at this. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. You shepherds didn't do your jobs. So I'll go do it. I'll go get my own sheep. I'll find them. And as shepherd seeks out the flocks when he is among the sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. On a day of clouds and thick darkness. Those days is over with. That's how it was when you're under the Babylonian Empire, but you're not going to be under that anymore. You're going to come out. You're going to change. You're going to recognize I'm your God. And you're going to be highly blessed because you recognize I'm your God and all the blessings comes from me. I'm not going to say that you're not going to have hardship, but you're going to be comfortable because you know I am the God of gods. and you are my people, and I'm going to take care of you. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the country, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them. I will take care of them. In all the inhabited places and in the country, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountains high of Israel shall be their grazing land. We make some changes. You show me some repentance. You get away from these foreign gods. You come back to me. And it's going to be so much better. So God said, I'm going to take an active hand in this to see that it gets done. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declare the Lord God. That's comforting right there. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. Sound like a pretty good leader, doesn't it? That's what you look for in a leader. I will feed them in justice. I'm going to be fair. As far as you, my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between the sheep and the sheep, and between the rams and the male goat. Is it not enough for you to be fed with a good pasture, that you must tread down your feet and the rest of the pasture, and to drink of clear water that must muddy and the rest of the water with your feet? These leaders were so corrupt that when they got done feeding, they trod under all the other that the people would have to eat, and then they drank the clear water, but they took and stirred it up and made the mud water and made everybody else drink that. That's terrible. What they should have done is should have went last, let you go first. Kind of like a husband and a wife. Kind of like the boss and the workers. But these people right here, he said, what you done is you ate up the good pasture and everything, and then you went along here and trod it down and added it down and make everybody else come here and kind of dig it up. And you drunk some nice, clear, clean water. Then you took your feet and kind of muddied it up so everybody else wouldn't have that. Something's wrong. And that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Not anymore. My people won't do that. I'm the type of leader that my people will be taken care of. They're going to be first and foremost. I don't know what all he's saying here, but I get that much out of it. If there's more in there than you want to bring in, you bring it in. But I get that much out of it. God said, I'm going to take care of you. Therefore, thus said the Lord God to them, behold, I will myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with your side and the shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. You know, you just come in and just get everybody out of the way, all the weak ones and small ones and everything. And let me get up there. I'm first in line. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. Everybody's going to be fair, treated equally. Nobody's going to be run roughshod over anymore or anything like that. That's the way it's going to be. God's people would not be left without a shepherd. I get that. The good shepherd himself would take over direct responsibility. God. God said, all right, I'll be the shepherd. I'm going to take over. The Lord, God takes to reclaiming his own. The faithful shepherd would find them. You know you're going to be found. God said he would find us. The day of captivity is past. It's over with. The gathering and the restoration has begun. You got to clean some things up before you can continue on the process. But God said this is the way it's going to be. His sheep are those who hear and respond to his word. That's what it says in the New Testament, John the 19th chapter. My sheep shall know my words. Lush pasture and a secure fold await the flock of God in Canaan. They would be under watchful care of God's shepherd, and he'll treat all these flocks with absolutely equality. Would you want anything else? I don't care who you are, where you're from. You're one of mine. I'm going to treat you like one of mine. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. That's what it's going to be. The buck stops here. I will make them. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land. So I hit it right here. New covenant. That's what he's talking about. A little bit of prophecy there has to be in there, and it's called the Lord's covenant of peace. But we know it as the good news, and the wild beasts of the land, so that they may dwell secure in the wilderness and the sheep in the woods. And I will make them and the place all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their seasons. And they will be showers of blessings. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bar of their yoke of bondage and deliver them from the hands of those who enslave them. Thus saith the Lord. You know that I said, and that's the way it's going to be. And I'm going to be the shepherd in charge now. I'm going to try my best to get through this. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and they, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declare the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declare the Lord. How we know all this? Because I have faith in the God who's saying it. God says it, that's what it's going to be. After return from the exile and the period of direct divine supervision of the flock, God will set up a shepherd over his people. The shepherd must be the long-awaited Messiah. It has to be what he's talking about here. A ruler of the house of David. It's still coming. Oh, it's going to be so much better than we living in that time. It's coming. The responsibility of feeding and tending the flocks of God will be committed to him, to God. We're God's people. God will still be their God, but his servant David will be the prince among them. This is the New Testament doctrine that we're getting a glimpse of it, of the Father and of the Son. The Father and the Son is in charge and rules and reigns in this kingdom. The new covenant is a prominent feature of the Messianic age. Here is what's called a covenant of peace. When you live like it's been prophesied, it is called a covenant of peace. Under the supervision of the Messiah, the flock would be safe. Evil beasts and bad rulers would not be a part of his domain. He's not going to have it. They would be free from the beasts. Showers of blessing will descend upon them. The Lord has delivered them from captivity. No longer will they be slaves in the to the enemies of God. Babylonian time period is over. Israel will realize that God was with them and that they were in fact God's special people. That's our responsibility. We have to realize that God is with us. And we are his special people. The entire passage relates to the new Israel of God, God's present day chosen people. We are. There's one paragraph I want to get to, and I don't want to live. This was literally fulfilled when Israel, the Israelite nation was released from Babylon captivity. But the most important fulfillment came with the kingdom of Christ. They haven't enjoyed it, but we have. Of which the present group of verses is predicted. This is how Christ said it's going to be. Christ was promised for the citizen of that kingdom. We got to make sure. It does not promise that Christians will never have any trouble. He's not saying that. Why don't you go away from this class thinking, Charlie ran in there that God's promised that Christians never will have any trouble, but they will be free. Secure in spite of all the persecution that you have. You know why? Because God is in charge. He's the good shepherd. And I don't care what I have to go through in life. I keep that first and foremost. I have faith in God that that's the way it's going to be. He's not saying here, you Christian, you'll never have any trouble. Yeah, you will. You Christian don't have nothing to worry about, you know. You focus on things that needs to be focused on. Focus on the spiritual thing. God is in charge. God is a spirit. And he'll take care of his spiritual people. I think that's what these verses is trying to say. The flock is to be the Lord's pasture, and therefore they will be men and not literally cattle. They can expect benefits that mere men, the ordinary shepherds, couldn't do it. We can expect benefits from God, the shepherd. They would come from the Lord. We will know that he is the Lord our God. We should know that. We should never doubt it. The Lord is our God. He's in charge. And we have the blessing that we're living in, the blessed time. Of anything that you read about in the Bible, Old and New Testament, we're living in the best time. Thank you very much. I'm going to try to get to finish the 14, get to the 15 Sunday.